Yeah, dude, whatever you talk at me, I'll say words back.
Yeah, dude, if you ask me questions, I'll participate in the podcast you agreed to.
Yeah.
Because you were in the OG season, which was recorded in 2018, bro.
Jesus, that's the past, dude. Straight up.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to Made for Music. I am your host, Duncan Byerjohn. The reason I started this podcast was growing up, music was my ultimate passion, but I didn't know how to get started. So this podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive view of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate that extra effort. Without further ado, here is the next episode of Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast is making his return after 3 years under a new moniker. Some of you may know him as the sound design extraordinaire that was once upon a time in Paradol, I think episode 5 of Made for Music. Fast forward 3 years, and he's completely overhauled his look, sound, and is truly becoming a staple in not only the trap metal scene, but the Seattle scene as well, reaching into every corner of the sonic spectrum, if you will. So without further ado, please welcome my good friend and collaborator, Aaron Karstensen, aka Cross Stitch.
Hello, thank you so much for having me. You always go big on the intros, man.
I know. I was sitting there and then I also overthink it a lot to where I was like, good sounds like just like kind of tangential friends and that we don't hang out a lot and that I'm making this up.
Bro, I think you to get an award for the most people blushing on a podcast because everyone on here would be like, oh my gosh, I'm blushing. You're so nice.
I've gotten kind of like used to people being semi-flattered. So when someone does it and there's like, hey,
you're like, damn, bruh.
I was like, I was off my game. I didn't have a good intro. They weren't thrilled.
You're like, thanks for appreciating that. I put 3 days into that intro. And they're just like, hello.
Yeah, I'm like, that was the whole reason for the intake questions, and I got a yo.
Ugh, ungrateful.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's good to be here, man. Thanks for having me on your show at my house.
Well, for those who don't know, this is where I've recorded literally all my stuff the past couple years.
This dude.
In the home away from home, especially during the pandemic, the panorama.
Panorama, dude.
Yeah, thanks for letting me come to you to do the pod. Would be really interesting to dive into what has happened the past 3 years because,
oh my gosh,
kind of a 180,
yeah,
sonically at least, but also like you've diversified kind of your business, if you will.
I think the past 2018 to now.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so much. The Imperidol project was like where I left off and... Or last year, last time I was, or not last year, 3 years ago, last time I was on this show. And that was all well and good. I feel like it was a good growth point, but I think I was still like really looking for something I was excited about on my own, in my own style, and like music that really spoke to me. And the Imperidol project had cool, like it was almost like, how do I describe it? There was some interesting like technical stuff I was doing. Like I think the production on some of that stuff is solid. Mixes, probably not so much. Vocals, eh. I almost say like there wasn't like a core, like there wasn't a genre to it really. And I feel like in a bad way, not in like, oh, it's so different, dude. It's like, what is this?
You know? Right.
So it was like too soft for the hardcore audience, but it's too dark for the pop audience, you know. It was kind of like wasn't really anything. So I always knew that deep down. I'd say up until the Cross Stitch project, I was like very uncomfortable or frustrated with my art, basically, because there was that part of me that was like, what is this, you know? And I was like, I'd make it I mean, I work really hard on the songs and I make something that I was like cool with in the moment, But listening back, I was like, who would listen to, like, no one listens to this, you know? It was almost like these pieces of art that, like, no one wanted to listen to. I don't know. Like, I was like, I don't even know, man. So it was almost like the way I saw it was like, it was technically interesting, maybe technically interesting to give it credit, but it wasn't like, no one was like, man, let's pop on that Imperidol, you know, that was my jam. And that was like sitting wrong with me for a long time.
As long as I've known you, I knew you were into like heavier music too.
Yeah.
So, which we've talked about at length. And then, do you mind putting me in that headspace of when you decided to switch? I remember kind of some of our conversations around what it was looking like, but what ultimately drew you to the trap metal scene?
I think it went there organically. I remember finding, or I was, because I did Chainsaws under the Imperidol, like, moniker. And that was, like, kind of heading towards the more heavy direction. It's like when I was finally put some guitars down on a track and, like, really started to get my sound design locked in. Because I think part of it was, like, my skills weren't there yet. Chainsaws was, like, had some grittiness to it, finally, production-wise. But vocally, I don't feel like it was there. It was more like, it felt like me was like, I was like trying to, it was like a teenager that was like, I'm so edgy, man. You know, like it wasn't really like authentic. And I think right around that time, someone showed me Scarlord, of course. Anyone who knows trap metal is going to be like, of course he said Scarlord. You know, like, I was like, yeah. But it was really like the first taste of like underground trap metal. And like when I heard it, I mean, at first I was like, what is this? This is insane. And then I started listening to more of it and I was like, oh, this is cool. Cause then it was like, oh, Suicide Boys and Ghostmane, all the kind of like mainstays that people have heard of Ghostmane and Suicide Boys.
Yeah. I didn't realize they were as big cause I didn't know about them until you told me about them. But even with like Berkeley classes, they're coming up, especially when it comes to like owning more concentrated markets or niche markets, they're considered like the pinnacle of that.
Right. Yeah. And so there was a lot of stuff about it I really like resonated with. I think, I mean, I don't know anyone who listens to like really hip hop to me is just like, it has that like cool factor, that like swagger to it. I don't know, like maybe it's a little bit of like arrogance, confidence. There's something about it's like, I don't know. I mean, hip hop is in everything now. I don't know anyone who's like, hip hop's not really my thing. You know, everyone, like when you see a really like big rapper doing his thing, you're like, I wish I was that person. You know?
And it has bled and everything. Like you said, countries getting like hip hop influence, like even the Blake Shelton, like God's Country, which thematically everything is quote unquote like the country trope, but then the production's hip hop.
Yeah, exactly. And so that, to me, has always been like engaging, it's always been like a really interesting and a really cool foundation for music. I didn't listen to a lot of like classic hip hop. I'm not a, like a hip hop head really. And I'll be honest, I didn't really come in to trap metal from the hip hop side. I'm not going to be like, you're doing big hip hop guy. Cause like, that's not true. The hip hop I did listen to was more like that EDM trap. Like, I don't know if you remember, it was like this big thing. Oh, remember the Harlem Shake?
Mm-hmm.
That genre of like EDM. So I'm not being like, oh, I'm a big like Kendrick Lamar guy. Like I'm a bit, you know, I grew up on 50 Cent. It was kind of like that EDM side of it that I was engaged in that I really liked. That's where I was like, wow, this type of music really moves. And it just grooves. It's like, to me, it's a highly efficient style of music. It's like just drums, sub bass, and a little synth, and you can make your face like, oh, dude, this is dirty, you know, like, oh, this hits, bro, you know. And then also, I've always loved like metal, right, and screamy,
which is interesting because hip hop really has made it into so much stuff. But it, in a lot of ways, trap metal's still in its infancy. There's some huge artists that are tied to it, but it seems like it is one of the final few genres that hip hop's working its way into,
right?
Which makes it a really interesting time to get into it.
And that was the kind of where I'm going with it. Like the only reason I don't know, it's hard, you know, if you I don't know where trap metal is going, or if it, I have a lot of hope for the genre, probably because like I'm in it, but like, but to me, it was just one of those that, like, once I figured out what it was and I started listening to it and I built kind of like a mental framework of what it is, to me, I was just like, this is the coolest thing I've ever heard. Like, this is it. This is what I want to be. I don't care. Like, and then at that point, like, because it's just the coolest thing I've ever heard, then I don't care about like where it goes as a genre. Mm. I'm just like content as an artist, you know?
Which is tough.
It is. Yeah, it is. It was kind of just lucky almost where like, I mean, yeah, I've been making music for a long time, but, and I think you do make your own luck, but it's like, don't stop looking for that, like, for what speaks to you, because it could be what I started cross stitch when I was like 24.
Has it really been that long?
It's been a few years.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even realize that pandemic time makes
right.
everything
I know,
up.
Right? Yeah, I think I was 24, which like is young, yeah, but like it's like most people are like 16 making music now. So it's like,
yeah.
Like that guy's old.
Yeah.
24, oh my gosh, you know. So that, yeah, it kind of evolved after the Impaired All project, that last EP. I knew, because Chainsaws was like kind of had that edge, and I knew I wanted to follow that farther. It was like so I started learning to scream and all that stuff. And then from there, it's just been like experimentation and practicing vocals, basically.
Hindsight's 2020, right? But then like looking at your interests, knowing you, it is kind of like you love like horror movies, did love like metal, like the 90s, 2000s metal bands and a lot more of that intensity. And then marrying that with the production that you've alluded to, carrying the Impaired All like more EDM side through to where you are now. It's almost like, oh yeah, this was like meant to happen for
right.
you, but it is such like a new thing and it is so niche. And I think that's one thing I'd love to dive into also is like you establish that and what you've done really well. And that's clearly reflected in like the success of your songs that are coming out is like owning that niche. And it does feel like it's a fundamentally different way to go about music due to the fact that, you know, some people are like, I'm a songwriter. I want to be Taylor Swift. It's like, well, how do you get from point A to point B?
Right.
There's so many factors. And it's like, where the heck do I even start? Where, and this is my, you know, secondhand account, is seeing you step into the space, you were able to like identify the players. And it's not easier to do, but it's a more defined space to operate within, it feels
right.
like.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest like helps about like entering that. I remember with my own music, like there's no community or anything. Yeah, there's an infinite amount of artists that are bigger than me, but like once I found these like trap metal artists and found the hashtags and kind of dove in on Instagram, that's where I started seeing these like names pop up multiple times. And I would say, I mean, the community is huge and there's a lot of, I mean, it's underground, but there's so many people who are into it. But just for whatever reason, you know, as I started finding more trap metal profiles or trap metal artists, I would see like followed by the same people. And then you just go follow them and you kind of uncover this circle to the point where I think, yeah, there's like six or so guys and gals that were like the first people I kind of dropped into their like Instagram lives and kind of just listen to their stuff and like send them a DM. And you know, I mean, they're bigger than me on Instagram, but they're not so huge that they would never respond because the community is pretty still like tight. So it's kind of like whoever's coming in is welcome, as I mean, unless you're a huge tool.
Which is a great use of social media as a networking
right
tool, which it is at the end of the day. But what's so interesting too is something that I've been researching is how US is so much me centric on social media, but other countries it operates fundamentally differently and is community oriented.
Oh yeah.
And the trap metal community seems to operate more in that way. And at the end of the day, and this might sound cold in a way, it is finding the target audience, right? Like when you the Taylor Swift example, you go, who is it? I want everybody to love my music. Whereas, and then you go, okay, well, how do I find the ears?
Right.
No idea. And I know that wasn't like your approach. You weren't like, I'm going to identify the checkboxes.
Right.
But ultimately, like, music, the reason that we all congregate, it's about building community. And so one of the things I thought you've done an incredible job of is very organically, just because of who you are, engaging with folks, and that community itself, it's a great example of what artists should be trying to create. You know what I mean? People care about the art form.
Right.
And there's like a genuine following, as opposed to, like, you know, the tit for tat local scene. And this isn't a shot at any scenes, but, you know, some people, when you first start, it's hard to know what to do. So it's, I will go to this show, sell a ticket to this person, so they'll come to my show, vice versa. Mm-hmm. And that's not like an organic, community centered approach to an art form.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think I don't know what it is about the trend. I think it is the, like, inherent, it's that underground feeling. I don't know. I know what you mean. Like, it can be very hard to find a community of people. Like, even, I don't know how many groups of, like, songwriters have we been in that just, like, didn't pan out, you know? It's just,
yeah.
And it's partially, it's like genre, partially is like the general vibe, or partially, you know, people are already have their, like, squad ready. You know, it can be very hard to find people that actually are, like, I don't want to sound rude, but, you know, like, people who are kind of at your skill. It's hard to find people at your skill level.
Right.
And that's not, I'm not saying, like, oh, we're the best in the world. I just mean any skill level.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, I mean, I feel like you kind of link up with people at your skill level. So if you and another artist are just starting out, you'll probably just start out together. If you're getting Grammys, you're probably not looking at the guy who's like day one songwriting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that, like I said, it's not a dig. It's just like everyone's at a different spot. And I think my production when we first started getting together was not like top notch, you know?
I thought it was at the time.
Right, we look back,
but I totally hear what you're saying.
Where I feel like we were both kind of looking to, like, make connections, and we were at a similar skill level. Because if I was trash, dude, you'd probably be like really, really bad. You'd probably be like, cool, man, like, keep grinding. You know, dude,
hey, good to see you, man.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? You know.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I mean by similar skill level. But yeah, there's something about the trap metal scene that I guess it's a, like, underdog feeling, or that feeling of like, oh, like, you like posting crazy pictures with knives and blood all over. You're like, cool, man, same. Like, people don't really get that, and you're like, you're right, man. But we're just people, and we're just doing what we like, and there's like that instant sense of like, you're right, man, like. And everyone's super nice for the most part. Everyone's like very supportive. It's just like, I guess maybe that most people don't understand that, and so we're all kind of like, when you find someone else who does, you're really like, hey, like, we're in this, bro.
It's like people, I saw this, like, a social media thing of people with dyed hair running up to crews of people with dyed hair. Yeah. And they're like, hey, and everyone goes, your hair! And they immediately, like, bond. I feel like it's kind of like, it's like that community. It makes me think a lot of, like, the punk scene, like the 70s, 80s punk scene, where it was that very rooted in the underground. Like, we share this common interest that is not in the mainstream eye, but when you find someone, you know, the whole, like, mohawk thing, it was like, if you saw someone dressed like that, and I think Instagram now, profiles and content's kind of a similar calling card, especially in the pandemic, is keying in on exactly what you're saying. Like,
exactly.
Oh, yes, you get the art style that I'm into, or you get what is fun or engaging in, like, my eyes.
Exactly. And I think because it's so, like, brash and in your face, that can kind of lend itself to, like, it's like right off the bat you're like, oh, I think this person knows what's up, you know. I don't know, maybe it's hard when, you know, you're at a, like, a networking thing with a bunch of musicians, and you're like, yeah, I do, like, folk pop, and people are like, that's cool, man, I do, like, pop, and, you know, maybe there's a connection there, maybe not. But with the trap metal, if you're like, I do trap metal, and someone else is like, dude, same, you're like, ah,
yeah.
And there's that instant, like, oh yeah, I got you, bro. You know, it's, I don't know, that immediate camaraderie kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it, like, it's basically reiterating what we were just saying. But yeah, I found a lot of community in that, which has been huge on my, like, morale, basically.
And it's interesting, too, to see, well, and A, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And B, it's cool because it has almost fed other things in a way that the quote unquote more mainstream appeal stuff didn't, right? Like, not to, you know, give too many too much of a look under the hood, but you've been like busier than ever lately with projects is right. where I'm going. That was where I was headed with. And it's yeah. like it, that just natural community is like actually not just from an artistic standpoint, reaping rewards, but like literally from a, what am I trying to say? Like well-being standpoint and like income, like you, yeah. like it's providing, you know, and like
it's good many business. Facets.
Yeah.
You're like dodging it. It's,
yeah. Well, yeah, where I was just going with that and what I wanted to dive into later was like really you have honed your production chops. You have a sound design background from Berkeley yeah. and is a genre that's in its infancy and kind of missing some of that. And in I think of myself as someone who's pretty attuned to music and I had no idea mm-hmm. about the scene at all until you introduced me to it.
Right.
And one thing that was really cool to see and where I think this niche play in general, if we're talking about any sort of niche market, is there's a need for skill sets at a greater level. And, right. and what I mean by that is like, you know, go back to the punk era, you need an engineer who can like effectively capture that, right? But if everyone's trying to do like the hair metal mm. or that's not what people engineers are thinking about, it's hard to find that. So when someone steps in
right.
And you find it, it's really important. And I guess what I'm saying about that too is if someone's like, I've got this niche skill or these interests in its niche, go find these people because like right. it's going to, if you build community around that,
mm-hmm.
that's what literally everyone's looking for. We don't realize it.
Right.
But it's just like being an entrepreneur. It's like find that seed, like those early adopters kind of thing. And then the people that are building around that same niche are going to be your go-tos
right. for a while. Yeah, exactly. I think what happened, I'm really glad I got in when I did and met the people that I met because, yeah, I think it's, like I said, there's a lot of luck in it. Like, I mean, not me sitting behind my computer, like practicing production for 10 years. That's not luck. Like that's, it's almost like I was preparing, like you're preparing for something you don't know is going to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's like when there's a genre of music, like when I found the genre of music, I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. And the thing about that is like, it's because it's different. It's in your face. It's, but it's also small. And like a lot of like, because it's a new platform, it means it's not saturated with like professional, you know, it's not like the whole industry is like, oh, well, we're doing trap metal now.
Right.
Because, you know, they're doing other stuff. The pro, big.
Yeah. Like the Ricky Reeds of the
exactly,
world.
Exactly. They're not
yeah.
focusing on that. So it's and where does that stuff usually start? It starts with the younger people
mm-hmm.
where they're like, this is crazy, man. Like, I want to sound like, you know, it's like a 16-year-old is like, I want to sound like Ghostmane, you know? And, or, you know, you get these hip hop beats and kind of get that SoundCloud rap. And because it is new and it's a younger like push, it's like a wave from the younger generation. Like I said, there's not a lot of people who have 10 years of engineering experience. And that's why I feel lucky because I'm like, oh, like, no, like, I mean, if I went into a studio with, yeah, like the pop mixing guys, they'd probably be like, this idiot, you know, like, I'd be like, you know, but, and I'm not like, I'm confident in my ability. I'm sure I could do a solid mix, you know, but it's almost like stepping into this new genre. I really am like, I know how we can make this like polished up, mm-hmm. you know, where a lot of people don't have that time or that background. And so it's kind of, I feel like the reason why I am getting so many new people to mix for is because it's that perfect combination of experience and like actually genuinely liking the music.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm sure you could get a pop mixer and he'd be like, oh, what is this new trap metal stuff? Okay. I think I kind of get the vibe. And like he could probably make some good engineering and, you know, they picked up, Some of those artists got picked up by bigger labels, I'm pretty sure. But I feel like with that combination of skill and like being like, no, like this is the music I want. This is what I want to hear out of it. I want that dirt. I want that aggression. But I still want to do it right. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to just crank everything to 10. I'm like, yo, if we lock this in, this is going to sound insane. You know, where people are like, what the fuck? That hits your ears so hard. And not in like a bad way.
Not like that song we were listening to where the high, I don't even remember what it was.
Oh, dude, that was a big one.
Yeah, it was like a huge pop song we listened and we were both like, ow.
Ow. Ah, yeah, what?
What is that?
How did that go? That's, yeah.
Wasn't it the,
Oh, yeah, it was.
Oh.
It was like the little hi-hat. Has this, like,
yeah, and it was like
piercing.
Yeah.
Piercing frequency on the high, on the top of it. Well, I hope the guy who mixed that doesn't hear this. He's be like, fuck those guys.
I will crush the Made for Music podcast.
Exactly. But yeah, I think I'm glad I have the experience I do.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's enough that I can kind of like give people a mix and a song back where they go, oh my gosh, dude, like this is what I wanted it to be. And people are really happy with it, which is awesome. That's why I do it, you know?
Yeah. What's fascinating too is I've seen the production quality and how that's paid off for other folks. And at the same time, I feel like it's also with your own music. What I've witnessed is the stuff that you do, it gets like more wild every time. And you even text me the other day, like, I need to do something crazy.
Yeah.
But it is, you've literally like been like sharpening your tool set on your own stuff, which I don't know why that stands out as interesting to me. I feel like folks would be like, I'm going to go hone my skills and then like come back and I'll do it myself. And you're like, nah, I'm going to be the cutting edge. You've got like this competitiveness to you to where you're like, nah, I'm going to do the crazy thing. And that's not in a way of like you're holding out on other folks, but it's like you were talking about, you have this like vision, like this can, we can keep pushing this forward.
Right.
Which
right,
is really cool. Cause you know, there's the, and even like the big songwriters, like on and the Writer Is, they talk about the danger of chasing trends and whatnot.
Right.
Because then by the time you've recreated, got the song out, every other song's already sounded like it. So, and not to put you on the spot, but what do you think that looks like?
Oh, like what to bring to the table?
Yeah.
To me, just having all the music I've listened to and all the music that I like, I think all those elements are viable in any genre. And I think part of it is, part of the reason why it doesn't, I'm not sure where I was going with that.
No, well, and that's a viable answer too, because I think one thing that's interesting is when I try to evaluate the sound, it's hard. I can't go crust, it sounds like X.
Right.
It's got to be a blend of stuff. And then even then, anyone who listens is going to have a different amalgamation of stuff, which I think is really cool. Yeah. If you break some stuff down, you could be like, oh, like these dropped guitars could sound like Disturbed, but then this vocal chain over here sounds like Suicide Boys, but then this over here sounds like almost like Bring Me the Horizon screams.
Right, yeah, yeah.
So you could like pull elements a la carte from a bunch of different folks. I know that you mentioned talking about chainsaws, and like I started pushing the direction I wanted to go.
Yeah.
But was just curious if there was like any sort of, what I guess, is it more like lyrical or is it stylistic, or you're like, I'm just going to start pulling stuff that I like. You mentioned like the bounce of trap and stuff like that, that you'd always had an affinity for.
I think it's definitely like stylistic choices. I think, well, because I have a lot of like engineering experience, I'll hear like a song that I'm like, oh man, that would have been awesome if they didn't totally butcher it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be like, well, that was almost so cool.
Right.
Like, or I'll hear like a really cool element. I kind of pick one mood at a time. Mm-hmm. I would say that's what I do. I kind of like, cause I work on one song at a time. I don't make like eight and then like fill them out. I kind of pick one. So I almost see the way I move forward is basically like, I find a way to challenge myself with each song. So with Liar, the first cross stitch, that was more like, yeah, kind of Bring Me the Horizon-y like chorus, still like guitar chorus and singing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the first time I put screaming down on a track. Mm-hmm. So that was like my test. And then once I started moving towards like Ditch and stuff, that's when I was like, started getting to hip hop. Like, maybe I should rap, you know, where I was like, I heard like, there's a lot of like UK trap metal and UK, like UK rap is like some really cool, like cool flows. And they sound dope because they have the accent, you know? So like, yo, go to Boston, you mate. You know, you're like, oh shit, bro. They don't give a fuck. You're like, damn, these guys are awesome. And they're like, da-da-ba-da-ma, na-na-ma-na-na-na, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, ooh, you know? And I was like, wow, they sound awesome. Like, I never thought of myself as a rapper ever. Mm. I was like, nah, dude, I'm just some white boy and I should not even touch it, you know? But once I started getting into trap metal, I was like, shit, it's really cool.
I really want to do it. So,
and it really is that marriage too of like that this sounds like such a dumbass statement to make of it's like metal meets trap.
Right.
But it is interesting that it didn't happen sooner in a way.
Right.
Like, I think people are probably gonna roll their eyes when they hear this, but like Disturbed did that whole thing of really bringing cadence to metal.
Yeah.
And like, and there was of course like rap rock groups and whatnot, but more of that like heavy screaming darker tones was something that hadn't really been played with, like really syncopated rhythms.
Yeah.
And now it, the blend of like screaming, which is very, you know, like metal, death metal kind of stuff with this trap element is a really interesting marriage that in some ways those scream elements have made it into the mainstream. I wouldn't say trap metal, but you've got, you know, your XXX guys
exactly,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And so there's elements that are starting to creep through, which is really interesting.
Right. I was about to bring that up. I think, yeah, like it's kind of been done before. And I think there is a, like a mainstream, like kind of like Linkin Park-y type sound that like all the like, it's kind of the I Prevail. I don't know if you listen to them.
Yeah.
I think that stuff hits. Like I listen to it, I'll be honest. I know a lot of like metal purists are like, no dude, like that's not real metal, you know, they're like it's so mainstream, bro, but like yo,
but
it hits bro. And like there is some cheesiness to that part when they when it's almost like they're doing like Linkin Park but like in 2020,
right,
where they're like kind of like they have the like new metal vocal and they're kind of like rapping, but it's very like very produced, very polished, very commercial sounding. I think that is a little cheesy and that's like not what I want to be at all. But there's like, it's like almost cutting edge. I would say cutting edge, like flows and trap beats, like with those like dirty 808s on top of the like cutting edge, like metal vocal styles where it's not just like a classic, like there's like shadow rap now,
mm-hmm. the whole like all that like, yeah, but shadow.
You know, you're just rapping with the like scratchy of your voice.
Yeah, bro.
Exactly. Yeah, you just go, yeah, fucking on your beat. Yeah, you know, and like shadow rap, like that to me is like where that gap, where it morphs. At some point, it goes from like cheesy of like killing in the name of, you know, it's the like the Beastie Boys type stuff or like 90s rap feel kind of
that Rage Against the Machine.
Against the Machine. Yeah. It's like the evolution of that for sure.
That's why I keep going back to that. I feel like punk is still, I mean, there's like pop punk revival going on right now.
Right.
But it is that, yeah, that brashness. This isn't for your big hook commercial. This is like, I've got an attitude that I bring to the table.
Right.
And I'm going to show it to you.
Exactly.
Like I've got something to say as opposed to like, I hope y'all like the song.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm not saying that people don't want them to like the songs, but
kind
of leaning to what you were saying. It's like, it's not about the big commercial hook or wrapping it up. It's like,
right,
there's a vibe.
Yeah, it's hard to describe. I know what you mean though, and I think it really is vocal tone. I don't think there's an X factor to anything. I think there's always an explanation. So I really think it is production decisions, especially like get those like chonky 808s, the ones that are like, you know, like like super like, because that's like what
that
XX,
is a technical term.
Yeah,
the
boof. Yeah, like you're like kind of simulating that like speaker rattle.
Mm-hmm.
Get those in there. Get real, you know, pick like rhyme schemes that are not from 2010, you know? And that's why like that UK type style, like to me, it just sounds cool. There's some, yeah. And that's why I was like, shit, maybe I have to do this rap. Like I can't not do it because I was listening to this, like it was like an 18-year-old white dude from the UK. And it was the dopest flow I've ever heard. And he wasn't like doing anything. He wasn't like screaming or anything. He was just doing it like, na-na-na-na, you know? And I was like, oh, dude, what? I was like, if he can do it, I can do it. Gosh damn it. And that's kind of where, and as I explored my voice more, I found out how to not, because it's like when you ask anyone like, hey man, can you do the rap for me? They're like, oh man, all right. No one's looking, right? Okay. Yo, my name is blah. You know, and they kind of just, but it's like when you get it up into your head voice and you're like, you know, like, and you kind of do that, like then you can bring the heat and you can grit that, then it stops sounding cheesy and then you're like, oh shit, am I a rapper, you know? Like, whoops, I didn't mean to do that. And that's tying it back, each song is like a challenge for me, as far as like what I'm trying to accomplish. And I think that's how the cross stitch, I mean, that's how every song I've made has progressed, but that's how, I think that's why my music is always evolving, is because I really hate making something that I feel like I just made, you know?
Yeah.
To me, that like, I'm like, nah, fam. Like, I'd just rather not make anything. You know?
Yeah. Is there a skill that you're looking to acquire that you're like, oh, I haven't mastered this thing yet or incorporated this element to my music that you want to chase down?
I think I'm doing it, dude, right now.
Yeah.
You haven't heard this song yet, but I'm working on it right now.
It's falsetto.
It's falsetto. It's falsetto trap metal. Actually, there's an artist who does it.
What?
It's awesome. It's hella good. Really? His name is Lord Gasp. Yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, it's super cool. I'll show it to you. But dude, yeah, he pulls it off, dude. It's awesome.
Really?
It's so good.
It's like, ooh, girl.
Oh, it's more like, he uses the falsetto, but it's more like creepy, like, hi.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. it's less like, ooh, yeah. It's more like, and I'm going to eat your skin. You know, like, it's more, it's no. Like, he does it in a really good way. Oh, and it's like layered up. It's super cool. It's really cool. But yeah, dude, I think what I'm going for in the new song is like, I don't think people are going to listen to it, but what I'm going for is just like pure like desperation in my voice. Instead of like a fabric, you know, it's like when someone's like, do a metal scream and they're like, bleh, and you're like, whoa, it's so intense.
Right.
Like there's something different. It also, because it's like been done so much, it's kind of that fabricated, like, oh yeah, like he's doing a sweet guttural. Like that's cool. I love it. But it's like, what I'm trying to grasp is this like almost like Unchained, like wavery. Like, I don't know if you listen to Igor, but there's these like screams he does where you're like, I think he's dying. Like, they're not like your metal. It's like, oh, this is a fry vocal and this is a like, you know, yell scream or whatever. This is a guttural false chord. It's like none of that. It sounds like he's being murdered.
Oh, wow.
Which is really interesting because
it'd be nightmares for me.
Exactly. But it's really cool because, and so in the next song I'm working on, it's more like, it's not like a jam. Like, it's pretty like dark, but there is a big chorus. Which I think I nailed it vocally. I'm super excited. But that's kind of what I was challenging myself. I was like, I hate, okay, this is, as I get older, the more I'm like not fooled by the like, dude, I'm so sad. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, shut the fuck up. Like, bruh, like sell it. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what I'm working on in this new track. It's more like, it's kind of like a yell scream, but it's like Unchained, where it doesn't sound like, it's not like a metal scream. It's like a cry for help scream. Like, ah! No, it's like, well,
I think that's really important because there's so many people that are objectively good singers, have great technique. If we break it down,
boring as shit.
Yeah. And there's a reason that there's people that are truly great at what they do. And then why there's like a Demi Lovato.
Right.
Because it is that finding out more and more. I mean, she writes a lot of her own stuff, but I think it's even more impressive now when I look at it that there's people. There's these artists that get songs, and the reason they get the songs is because they can sell it.
Right.
And you would never know they didn't write it.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
And there's so many people that could hit all the perfect notes and probably have an objectively good sounding voice.
Right, right, right.
But if they just mimic that style, like you were saying, then you're like, okay, well, this has been done a million times. You sound like 15 people that did this before you, and you're just emulating them and not getting your own voice out there.
Dude, that's kind of where I'm at right now in general with music. Like, I don't hear much stuff that like impresses me anymore. And I don't know what happened. I like pop music. I like am heavily influenced by pop music. I haven't listened to the music that they play in the gym for like 3 years because I've had my headphones in working out by myself. And now me and my brother go, I don't have my headphones in. And I'm like, I feel like a hipster. I'm like, what is this crap, dude? It's like, seriously, the worst music. I'm like, bro, they're like, and we will overcome any challenge, you know, and they repeat it like 8 times. I was like, I'm like, dude, like, or like, I love you a lot. And you're like, what? Like, you have nothing more interesting to say than I think about you a lot. What?
That's like the Bo Burnham bit where he's talking about love songs now as opposed to, I forget who he quotes, but it's some like famous author and it's this like beautiful like soliloquy. And then he goes, and today, Jason Derulo.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, I'm not hating on anyone, especially if you're learning and like, but like, these are on the radio. They're playing them at the, I'm like, someone must have like gotten paid to do that. And it baffles my mind because I do like pop music. And I know like the like big, there's a lot of big pop that's like really well done pop. And that's why those people are big. But it's kind of this like commercial like pop that it made me angry.
I resonate with that because there's a lot, even when you look at the top 40, there's usually songs interchanging in and out. And there's maybe the five pop artists that are truly great artists.
Right.
And then the other 35 tracks are whatever the song of the week or the song getting tossed into the top 40.
Right.
And then
right.
That's how I feel. Because I think what's interesting is you look at the top 40 on radio is very different than the top on streaming.
Oh, yeah.
For
yeah,
example.
Yeah. Right.
And it's part of that streaming doesn't have to be censored in any way. So obviously the top 40 radio has to be passing FCC guidance and whatnot, which is why you're not going to have Eminem and Jay-Z and Nas and DMX were so huge at the times they were because radio was kind of like, how do we, these are the biggest artists in the world and we can't use their song, you know, in compliance with like radio guidelines, which of course there was like censored stuff and whatnot. Pop today is very much, pop radio, I should say, is very much still catered to those guidelines.
Yeah. And I hate to be that guy that's like, oh, dude, like, I don't like pop, because I've always hated that guy who's like, you're like, dude, you like, no, you don't. You know, stop.
Dude, I hate pop. I'm all about Disturbed.
No, right?
You're like, oh, like, so pop metal.
I feel like I'm coming off like that guy who's like, no, dude, like, I only like real music. You know, and you're like, shut up. Like, no, I'm super influenced by pop and I love pop music. And pop structure has probably been like the biggest contributing factor to me actually listening to music and enjoying it as I grew up. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Disturbed, exactly. All these Five Finger Death Punch, any of this metal, air quotes metal, kind of mainstream rock that had pop structure and pop hooks and big hooks. Dude, I was all over that. I loved it. So I truly say that this pop music is like pissing me off. And if you like it, that's fine. It's pissing me off. And that's not in like a high and mighty way. I truly think I'm changing as an artist and like hearing people who are maybe older than me saying, ooh girl, I think about you all the time is like, it literally hurts my brain. It makes me angry. I'm like, bro, like, can't you think of anything else? Like, you're a human being. Can't you think of anything else to say?
I think the impact of a great record, I think part of it is influenced too by like the streaming culture where it is one song at a time, one single, which is great. What I love is you can see the evolution of someone such as yourself, you have this approach where like, okay, net level up each song and crafting each song. When the record labels, which are like literally just venture capital firms, like we need the return on investment. What is working?
Exactly.
You have to create something within the confines that they can go, yes, we can take this to market and get our return. And with this streaming game, it pushes homogeneity because what the algorithms are picking up is popular. Like you see with Billie Eilish too, like she comes out, nobody sounded like her. And now like 50% of the stuff has come out with like these soft vocals like this.
Exactly.
This cadence right here. Yeah. And it's like, flip the game, but then all of a sudden when it got deemed popular, all the investments are in that kind of style. Everyone tries to co-opt it, and then everything's back to that. So it'd be interesting for her as she's what only one record in and has to now revamp it. But in the same way, I think it's interesting because you see the power of a full record, like the Dua Lipa record. Obviously, you know I'm a Dua Lipa gomer, so I'm just like all about that record. But I think it showed the power of like a true record that was written end to end to be something, have a voice, and it wasn't just like, I mean, there's obviously universal themes and wrappings behind all of it,
but I did think
things were said at least in a different way. Same concepts we're all familiar with, which is why it worked at the scale that it did.
Yeah,
but it was wrapped in a way that was new.
I'm actually curious about like what about it, because I agree there's a lot of those songs that actually like I like, and it wasn't the like nostalgia. Yeah, because it has that nostalgia factor with the like 80s. Like that never really, I mean, I was born in the 90s, so I'm like, I don't know about that. You know, like it was way before my time. But like, you know, it's not like that didn't, it wasn't like, oh, I remember this synth sound. Like I never got super into like 80s music or anything. There's something about those songs. I'm curious what it is. It's the melodies. I wonder if it's the melodies. Just solid, like, you know what it might be?
That's the one that just popped in my dude, mind meld. The cadences are really interesting.
I wanna maybe. Yeah, I think it is rhythm. Rhythm and melody. It's really like, because to me, I think to any human, there's nothing more boring than hearing the same pattern over and over. And I think sometimes we don't notice it, or like we just go, this is boring and I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that contrast is to me one of, like, understanding contrast and grasping it is one of the reasons why, like, my confidence as a vocalist has gone up so much. Like, when I do a collab, this is gonna sound cocky as fuck, but when I do a collab and someone's like, yo, here's the beat, I'm like, I'm about to murder this. And I send it to them and they go, oh shit, bro, you murdered that. And I go, I know. Like, and it's not because I'm like, oh dude, I'm the best. It's just like, I know that, like, contrast is what humans, we crave it, you know? Mm-hmm. So if I go, like, if I rap slow for, like, I'm like, yo, and I'm saying, they immediately go, oh, now he's going fast. Your brain, like, I'm not even rapping that fast, but your brain is like, wow, like, that really picked up. Woo, you know, it's like, right. It's like that. And that's why, like, every, like, 8 bars I'm changing, like, either vocal style or, like, going to a melody or, like, you know, changing my patterns or, like, starting on a different beat. So I'm not always, like, down on the one, like, you know, and then, like, next 8, you, like, pick it up and you go, hey, you know, you start on a different spot. Even that's enough for people to go, like, whoa, you know, like, but I don't think we know it consciously.
Agreed. I think we're in what, 95% of the general public listening's not listening from, like, artistic view. And I think you're right. Totally right. It's just keeping attention. And that aligns, like, with what Ryan Tedder talks about when he talks about writing, like, these massive pop songs. He's like, every 4 to 8 measures, something new has to happen.
Right.
Whether
right.
It's melody or a cowbell in the back, even.
Yeah.
People don't realize it, which makes it also really interesting that stripping things down makes, or it's even more important to strip things back.
So right, you right.
Have the room to do that.
Dude, the key to every, like, fatty, like, wreck, like, gross face metal breakdown is just slow it down. That's literally, they're like, you know, and you're like, oh, like, this is going so hard right now. And you don't know why, but literally all it is they slowed the pattern down way low to where, like, one guitar is like, choom. You know, and there's you create more space for you to kind of, like, be floating in it to where it's like it hits and you're like, oh, duh, duh, and then they keep hitting you with it. And it's like everyone's like, oh man, that, like, break is so heavy. It's like, yeah, just slow a pattern down and people will lose their minds. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it really is these kind of, like, tricks. Dude, the thing I'm doing now is I'm changing the pattern mid hook. Holy shit, dude. I need to show you this. This is actually crazy.
Yeah.
I'm doing it with hi-hat patterns. This.
Oh, interesting.
Dude, I got to show you this because it is crazy. I did it on Guts and Patience.
Do that.
Yeah, I know. Well, dude, okay, so this is the thing about hip-hop and especially trap metal, because it's new and so many people are either producers or artists. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? There's not a lot of that are both that do it well. And what I'm finding is, like, you know how we went in and in your song, what was it? We did the coming down and we cut everything in the beat. Which song is that?
Down. And we pulled, to the unknown with the,
what was that part?
Down to earth now.
That. So you know how you, like, had that idea and, like, you're like, what if it, like, dropped out and we changed it in effect? We had to record the vocal and then go back into the production, right?
Mm-hmm.
The thing about these, a lot of hip hop people is they're just buying the beat.
So they can't, like,
they can't
go stems.
Back into the production and change anything. And that, to me, is where, like, that's why I'm so amped about this, like, hip hop and, like, trap metal stuff, is because it's a new genre and a new place to just exercise, like, high quality, like, song creation. I don't know. Like, so what I'm starting to do, yeah, stuff like that, where, like, in Guts, like, cold hands got my guts in a bucket. Like, that is just, like, a vocal thing that, like, Like someone could have done that over just a hip hop, like a normal hip hop beat, and it probably would have been like, oh shit, dope. But because I like accented it and cut everything else around it, it becomes this like a moment, and it like keeps you engaged to where you're like, whoa, like, and then it sounds like the whole song was, it sounds like the song was meant to do that. You know what I'm saying? Instead of just kind of like buying a beat that has been pre-made and then just playing through it and rapping over the top of it.
So one thing that's really interesting about that is from a song, kind of what we're getting at here is from like a songwriting perspective, you actually have a lot more room for creativity. I realize that, you know, folks need to buy a beat because if you can't generate, like, how are you going to do it? You know,
for sure.
But it is interesting to point out that from a songwriting perspective, to really introduce a lot of these elements, play with rhythm, play with dynamics, and then in post also get that massive feel or some stereo width and whatnot. Mm-hmm. It helps to be able to have each individual stem, which, if for folks that are listening, if they don't understand what a stem is, that's just literally the individual track, like a hi-hat, that's a stem, guitar stem, bass is its own stems, et cetera, that go into a session.
Engineers would be mad at you, but that's okay.
Oh, correct it. Correct it.
That's okay. No, it's like the only reason is someone got mad at me for it because I called them stems. Track outs are like each individual thing.
Right.
Stems would be like drums, bass, vocal. They're like big chunks. Yeah, the big chonkies. Those are stems. But yeah, track outs. Just having the track outs is, yeah, amazing. And it's, oh man. I think the way I was talking actually with my great aunt about this today, how like it's kind of like folding it back into itself where like you wrote the song on the guitar with To the Unknown and then we like recorded the vocals and everything and you're like, oh, like this moment I feel like could use, what if we added a harmony to it? And we're like, oh, that's cool. Oh, what if we could cut the beat away there? You know, and then it's like, as you like, the songwriter needs to in it, and then we produce on it, and then we go back and songwrite into it, and then you go back and produce into it, and it kind of like weaves in and out. And I think that even some of the like big artists in trap metal are, I won't name names, but they're like, a lot of the big names are still doing like just by the beat and do over the top of it. And I think sometimes it's like a detriment because I was like, oh man, like if you went back into the production and kind of like tailored it to the vocal fold back in, you could have some really, really interesting moments. And that's when you get like Jeremy Zucker, he's the pop guy. Oh man, like that production is crazy. Cause he does that. And I think he produces his own stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Exactly. And that's what you get when, cause it's like when you get the producer is the songwriter and the vocalist and the everything. And or if you're working closely with a producer instead of like you just being like, oh, let me buy the guitar track for, you know, what you get these really like really engaging songs because those little moments are make or break. And it's like spotlighting. That's basically where I'm at as I feel as an artist is spotlighting. That's where I'm at. I think I first pulled it off with the Urn track and now I did it with Guts as best I could, and now on this new one I really need to bring the heat because it's going to require that spotlighting to be really good for it to be an engaging track, because it's not like a banger like, oh yeah, hell yeah, let's just headbang the whole time.
Right,
it's more like emotional, but it's still cross stitch, so it's like, oh, it's gonna be hard. I'm gonna have to like really nail it.
Well, I'm excited to check this out here in a sec because you've got my interest piqued. I guess before I let you go here, one thing I'd love to dive into is we've talked a lot about the evolution, of course, of your sound. What are you hoping personally to get out of this project? And why are you making music?
Oh, man. That's a big question. What am I hoping to get? That's a good question. I think for me, the art is like where I find peace of mind or like a sense of productivity. And I love working on mixes for people for sure. Like that. And clearly like making money doing what I love is like, that's amazing. That's super cool. To me, that art, that feeling of like, I just cut a vocal in a new style that I've never done before and I nailed it. Like, I don't think you like have, I don't think I can chill harder than after that. You know what I'm saying? Like if I nail a lead and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I didn't like, I was afraid to sing when I was younger. And now I just pulled off the most insane scream I've ever done. in my piece of art that then like I'll chill so hard after that. Like all the anxiety goes away. Like all my mental health problems are like, peace out. I'm like, cause I killed it today and you know, I'm good forever. So
nice.
I think the reason why I make music is, partially it's habit at this point. I'll be honest. I've been making music since I was 16 and I don't think I'll ever stop. But there wasn't that sense of productivity of like, if I made a song when I was younger, it was like, all right, like I don't have a job, but like, but I did some today. And I think at this point, it's just, I want to see how far the well goes, you know, how far I can dig, because I don't know, like, I don't know if it's just like luck or what, but I heard something that is probably totally wrong, but I'm going to say it out loud anyway. I saw like a chart and it was like Beethoven and all his contemporaries. Oh, good job, Aaron. Holy shit.
Good job, dude. Good job.
All his contemporaries. And it was like, they're on a chart and it was like amount of like things they made and like whatever and like songs and like whatever. It was like an XY chart and like a lot of them were like, oh, here, like he made 40 and this guy made, I'm ballparking on these numbers, 20 and this guy made 3, and then like Beethoven was like 400 and they're like, whoa, like, well, you remember Beethoven. And so part of the reason like I'm doing this, I guess, is like, first of all, like I have no idea where this goes, but it's evolving and it's part of what I do, and I feel like I had a moderately good head start. So part of it feels like a moral obligation or something to just go as deep into this medium of art I've chosen as possible, because imagine, sometimes I scare myself, because imagine if, what if I did music 8 hours, like my own music 8 hours every single day? Do you ever think about like how crazy your art would be? You know, like you'd be like, holy shit, like Would it end up being so good that like you just immediately rocket to fame and fortune and everything you ever wanted? Or would it evolve so quickly to something so strange that no one can like grasp it? You know, right, what I'm saying? Yeah. But I think about that a lot. Like, where is this going? Mm-hmm. Because it's like, well, we're all kind of just killing time, you know,
right,
in life, I guess. I mean, yeah, you do things that are important to you, but it's like I grabbed the end of a string. And I feel like I'm lucky enough to have grabbed it relatively early.
Mm.
So I'm like, well, let's like pull on this thing. Yeah.
Right. I guess conversely then, what do you hope people get out of your music?
Oh, that's a good question.
Thanks, dude. I thought of it myself.
I hope because of the like dark themes and the aggression, I think the reason I started making music is like, music helped me a lot when I wasn't feeling great. And it sometimes, the way I see it, I know some people are like, well, the music is so aggressive and loud. Like, oh my gosh, that's scary. Or they'll be like, horror movies, that's so messed up. Why do you need to watch that? You know, like there's kind of this like, I guess it's like a moral thing that there's a moral conversation with horror and like messed up dark stuff. But to me, it's kind of like, yo, like, you might not like the sound of a super aggressive, like guttural layered scream on the track, but like there's some kid in high school who's too afraid to scream and someone needs to do that for them so they can kind of be like, yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So the thesis, yeah, of this is I hope a kid listens and goes, cross stitch, you're right.
Yeah, like it's that feeling of like, you know, like you're a kid and you're afraid and the world is scary and you like, you see the bully in the TV show and you're like part of you is like, oh, I wish I could get in there and give him a 1-2, you know, like there's a little bit of that like fight, like fight back, you know?
Right.
And I think it's in the most positive, I don't mean any negativity, but I'm pretty careful about the vibe I put out in the world because holy shit, that negativity from people who don't even know they're putting out negativity, that shit weighs on me, man. So I really try to put out positivity. And I hope that, I mean, my whole goal, even the most aggressive and fucked up lyrics I think of, the goal is to like have a positive impact of like someone who can't like scream for themselves or feels really like pent up and trapped inside themselves, kind of get that moment of like, yeah, you know, like, yeah, a little bit of release and a little bit of like confidence of like, I mean, I remember listening to like some hard stuff in the hallway, like in high school. And like, it's this whole, it's kind of like, if they only knew, you know, what
right.
I'm saying?
I feel
like,
that,
you know, you're walking down the hall and like, you're just the scared little kid, but in your headphones, it's like, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, they don't know how, like, cool, look, they don't know, man. Like, you know, you feel badass for like 10 seconds and that's okay. You know, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think you need that. Yeah. So that's the goal.
And you noted 10 years ago being scared to sing and whatnot. So I yeah. guess if you were to go to that kid in the hallway blasting that music, what would you say to yourself?
I'd be like, what's up?
And you go, hey, what's man, up? You're pretty big and I'm pretty scrawny. How about you leave me alone?
Such a nerd. Where are them 22s at? Are you trying to lift or what? Nah.
Advice.
I'd say, hey, bro, shit's about to get real rough, but I'm pretty concerned. I'm pretty sure if I saw the person I'm becoming 10 years ago, I'd be like, fuck yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's important. But that came from like some pretty important decisions too. And there's definitely a lot of middle spots that are, yeah. If I met myself from high school, I'd be like, dude, I feel so bad for you right now. Shit's about to get rough, dude.
Yeah.
But the one thing, I am pretty hard on past Aaron. I'm always like, fuck that guy. But I will say he did make some tough decisions at a pretty young age that I'm like, oh, all right, maybe weren't so bad.
Yeah. That's important, like self-grace and self-compassion, because it is, in a different lens, we talked about hindsight being 2020 earlier. It's,
right,
easy to get into the beat up stage of how could you not have seen that?
Exactly. But yeah, you didn't really know.
Well, man, I appreciate you doing this. I'm pumped up on all the stuff that you're doing, both on the mic and off the mic. So thank you for doing this. We should do this again sometime.
Hell yeah, bro. It's good chat. Thanks for letting me talk. I feel like it talks a lot.
Hey, that's what podcasts are all
that's
about.
That's what the podcast is for.
Right on, man. Cheers.
Hell yeah. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Peace.
That was Cross Stitch, a.k.a. Aaron Karstensen. He just dropped a single the other week titled Guts, available on all major platforms. The music video drops this week, so be sure to give him a follow. That is X Stitch Music across all major platforms, X Stitch on the streaming services and digital download platforms. And be sure to hit him up for all your audio engineering needs, from production, mixing, mastering, all that jazz. And if you dig what you hear during the interview, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever your preferred podcast medium is. Truly appreciate that extra effort, and I will see y'all next time.